fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice in me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will soon come. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. How many of you like to take a look at the night sky? There is an app that's called Skyview. I'm sure there's probably other apps that you can get on your phone to look at the night sky and help find constellations. Now, some of you may be able to do this without any help. You're thinking, ah, an app. I know how to look at the sky and pick out the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. That's about how far I can get. Orion, Cassiopeia, whatever. There's all that. The sky changes as the seasons change. But there is something magical about being outside looking at the night sky as the stars kind of begin to appear. I think the Apostle Paul must have liked the night sky also, because he urged the Philippians to shine like stars in the sky in this world, illuminating the message of the gospel through the way that they lived. We have been working our way through the book of Philippians with a particular focus on discipleship. Remember, this is the time when the early church was just forming. Paul and the other apostles were key in helping people who had professed faith in Lord Jesus, who would receive the good news, to gain understanding how are they to function as a community. We believe Paul was writing from prison, but was hopeful he would soon be able to visit this beloved community in Philippi. Paul wanted the community to be healthy in every way, so that they could shine like stars, sharing God's love and light with those who most needed to hear the message of hope. But what was happening? Well, remember earlier in Philippians, Paul said, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It would seem that Paul has become aware that there were maybe some breaks in the community, some issues, and he's urging them, take care of this, heal this up. They are a community of disciples in need of what you might say a little bit of course correction. Today, we'll look at our passage from Philippians and our ongoing focus on discipleship kind of through this lens of obedience in Christ. First, we'll look at verses 12 and 13 that says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Okay, it starts out with the word therefore, implying, in light of what I've just shared with you, So if we go back, and I won't read all of it, but if we look at Philippians 2:6-8, Paul had written, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." So Paul is reminding the Philippians about the example of humble obedience put forth by Jesus. Paul had been one of the primary teachers handing down what is called the gospel tradition, the message of the gospel and how one is to live it out. He is telling the Philippians to obey the things that he taught them, to keep up that gospel tradition, whether or not he is there. But then he adds this puzzling phrase, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." It's like, I had to dig a little to find out what this might mean, because we see our salvation as a free gift from God, not something we earn. We can't work for our salvation. But Paul has been teaching that in many places. So what is he saying here? Well, I think the key to our understanding is that there's other meanings of the Greek word salvation. And another meaning would be health or wholeness or well-being. So we need to remember he's addressing this community, and he's telling them to take the necessary steps to restore or to work for health and wholeness in this faith community. There were issues that needed to be worked on. He says, keep working on them to make sure the church is healthy. Now, some of you may think, really? Dysfunction in the church? What a surprise. I think we all know difficulties occur. Misunderstandings occur. Paul is calling their attention to the fact that it is necessary to notice, to pay attention to the spiritual well-being of the community to make sure that its health is fully established. And how are they to do this? It says, with fear and trembling. Whoa, fear and, well, obviously, because you're living out your life before an awesome and holy God, yes. But also, in the original language, that phrase, that was kind of a common phrase, fear and trembling, which would often refer to interpersonal relationships rather than even a relationship with God. He's saying be respectful and humble towards one another. Within the church, the relationship qualities are important. Be respectful and humble as you work out, as you live out your lives together. Obey the law of love. And why is this important? He says, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, the Greek word here for work is not the one commonly used other places. It's a word related to the word energy. This is an energizing force, which is God. Paul uses this word 18 of the 20 times it appears in the New Testament. And a more exact translation even of that phrase is, God is the one who is effectively at work. God is the great energizer. We would say the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds his readers that it's God's divine energy that is at work in the community. Remember, Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God is at work among the Christians at Philippi so as to effect change in their wills, and in turn, change in their conduct. He's saying, you have the means to live an obedient life, not within yourself, but because of the power of God within you. So we may wonder, what has been going on there? Something must have been happening to prompt Paul's words. And here is all we get. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. So there's, again, a more interesting little layers of meaning here. The word translated grumbling is rarely used in the New Testament. But when it is, it's always referring back to the wilderness experience of the Israelites. And we remember that, if we remember that, the story of the wandering in the wilderness. So by using this word, Paul is kind of linking these Philippians, although they are Gentiles, as part of God's people. He's telling their story is your story. It's connected. And he's kind of warning them, avoid the problems and mistakes of your spiritual ancestors. Grumbly also could imply they were doing things that were unfriendly towards one another, maybe whispering or murmuring or whatever, and then arguing or disputing. It's a divine act. It's a divisive action of talking among themselves in ways that could express, I thought this was interesting, anxious reflection. Sometimes we get worried about things, we get anxious about things, doubts, arguments, maybe even considering ideas of false teachers. He's saying, do not do this. I'm warning you. This is not the way God calls you to live. I want to jump just to think a minute about the section that comes after, the section that I read this morning about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Why do they make his name so hard? You know, a few verses later, Paul tells the Philippians that he'll be sending each of these gentlemen back. Paul speaks very highly of Timothy, like a son, one who looks after Paul's needs and the interests of the Lord. The Philippians would have known Timothy as Paul's helper, perhaps even his, like, apprentice. He was much younger. Might Paul have been also urging these Philippians to receive Timothy and accept his authority and leadership? Don't get into any chats or grumbling, doubting young Timothy's abilities. Respect him fully. Maybe he was trying to circumvent a potential issue. And the same with Epaphroditus. He'd been sent to the Philippians to serve Paul, and now he's going back. Paul did not want them to think that this man in any way had failed on his mission. He'd nearly died for the cause of the gospel. He says, treat him with love and respect. His early return is not to be put on him as failure or shame. Paul wanted to cut off the possibility of any of that type of speculation. Both Timothy and Epaphroditus are obeying Paul's direction to go to the Philippians in the timing that he discerned would be appropriate. So likewise, if the readers are obedient to follow Jesus' example of humility and obedience, if they are willing to obey Paul's warning to evaluate their spiritual health and change their attitude where necessary, it says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. This is the healthy community that Paul is aiming for. He's urging the Philippians to shine as lights, as people who know God's truth. They have a responsibility as God's children to be lights in the world. And Paul's words really can recall some of the things that Isaiah wrote. He said, I'll make you a light for the Gentiles. My salvation may reach out to the ends of the earth. Once again, it's a reference to an Old Testament source, clearly establishing for these Philippians, again, who were Gentile converts, that they're now identified with the people of God, the story that goes back from the Old Testament and comes up to where they are right now. God, they are inheriting all the promises of God. I remember you may remember that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And that all who believe in me will have that light of life inside of them. He wants believers to be beacons of light for the truth of the gospel. They're to hold out the truth of the gospel, the word of life, to a lost and weary humanity. So, how can we apply what Paul tells the Philippians to our learning? Well, Paul invites the Philippian church to live like shining stars before unbelievers so that they can see a demonstration of the kind of life that's available to those who follow Jesus. I found a few ideas we can draw upon, I think, as we examine our life together as a faith community. First, evaluate spiritual health. So he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do we live before God, and how do we live before one another? We all need to pay attention to the spiritual health of our community. If we are to be obedient followers of Jesus, we're expected to examine and kind of evaluate ourselves. We need to pay attention to how we're sharing the message of God's love, how we regard one another, how we treat one another, how we work out our differences. It's important to God. It can be a humbling experience to recognize where we might see a place in ourselves that needs to be examined and corrected. We want people to look at our faith community and see how these people love one another. We need to see where we are strong and see where we need to grow. Having the church be a healthy spiritual community is very important to God. Also, watch our attitude. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Even as we evaluate ourselves and our community, humility is important. Think about it. We want to be part of a community where, who wants to be a part of community where people are grumbling and criticizing and getting involved in disputes? I'm thinking maybe no one. This type of activity divides the community and causes disunity, and it's the opposite of what God wants. I think it doesn't attract people. It probably repels them. As a community and as an individual, we need to examine our hearts. So I ask you to think about these questions. Are we grumblers or complainers? Do we engage in anxious reflection? Do we think we know better than the leadership of the church? Do we think we have superior insight or knowledge or understanding or vision? Right now, our congregation is focusing on discipleship. Are you on board? Are you listening for how the Holy Spirit is inviting you to grow? Might you ask, how can I move in cooperation with what God is doing here? Also, remember who's watching. Shine like stars in the sky. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church on his last night with his disciples, and Paul urged the people of Philippi to seek unity. The world is watching how we as God's people interact within our church communities. Shining the light of love involves obedience to what the Lord commands. It involves sacrifice. We must hold firm to the gospel, God's word for us, which we have received and through which God means to bring life to others and to provide direction for living. Hold on to the word of life is more than just standing firm about what we may perceive as persecuting opposition. It's really demonstrating, I'll say, the validity of the gospel to people outside the faith by the way we live. When it comes to the reality that we are shining stars, bearer the light of Christ, we need to take in this truth with great seriousness and with great joy. Now, I thought about some examples of people I see as shining stars as they live out their lives for Jesus. One is a man who's part of our faith community who told this story of how his company was getting rid of some tools and equipment he knew that he could use. And someone said, just take it. They were getting rid of it anyways. And he said, I can't do that. I think it would be like stealing. Later, someone in authority told him he could have those items. But I was so impressed by the integrity of this man and the witness to others that might have been around him. Honesty in the workplace, a witness for Christ. Also, a story that's kind of unfolding right now, kind of long distance in my life. I have some friends in seminary, Norm and Deb. As a young couple with two small boys, I met them 17 years ago. But in course of those years, they've added more children to the family, and two of those were adopted about 10 years ago. One of them has special needs. And this family has loved this boy. His name is Isaiah. with the most compassionate tenderness. And Isaiah has been in and out of the hospital, and he is now in a place where he may have just a brief time left on earth. I saw on Facebook the family invited anyone who wanted to come and say goodbye to this child to come. And there's been this steady stream of people from many walks of life who have come to see him and tell him how his life touched them. How his courage and kindness and patience will never be forgotten. And I think of that child and I think of that family and I see how the light of the gospel has shined so beautifully as a witness to this world. God is watching and the world is watching. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I believe there are places where the light of Jesus Christ shines brightly at Calvary. There are ministries sponsored by Calvary. There are ministries our people are involved in beyond these walls, which are brightly shining with the message of the gospel. There are people in this faith community who know how to love and pray and serve. And we can all praise God for the ways that the light of Christ shines through. But as disciples of Jesus Christ on this discipleship journey, there's always more. God, the great energizer, is always at work in us, shaping and forming and leading, both as individuals and as a community. And our willingness to obey, to humbly submit to the leadership of the gospel, God's word, and the leadership of the community, which is part of the process, I think, of being used as a light, as a shining light. And I pray that our lives will shine, each one of us, to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we just place ourselves before you right now. Our desire is to love you. Our desire is to glorify you. Our desire is to obey you. It's just sometimes we don't even know what that means. So we ask that you would help us, lead and guide and direct us, what it means to be obedient to you, Lord, to your word, and to your plan for each of our lives and your plan for our faith community, so that we may be shining stars for you. In your name we pray these things. Amen.